Well, once again, hello. I'm Pastor Matt. I'm totally okay if it's just Matt. But first of all, thank you for being here tonight. It's one of those things, like I'm always beyond grateful that I get to be part of a church who seeks the presence of the living God. And so our Wednesday night crowd to me is always really special. It's just a hunger and a thirst, you know, to press just a little bit extra, a little bit deeper. And so I honor you for being here tonight. Our heart tonight, Josiah went with me, so that's why he's up. He got to go to Guatemala. It's his first mission trip, so he's hanging out with me tonight too. So super proud of him. He did awesome. But our heart for you tonight is that you catch a glimpse of the heart of the Father for the people that live in other places. You know, it's not just in the United States that God is moving. And I know sometimes that's the Western world tends to think us first, then everybody else. And look, the way the nature of the kingdom is just always extending to see who can we reach, what where can we see the gospel taken? It's all through the New Testament to go, to make disciples, to be filled with the Spirit and to go. And that's been the heart of what our church does, right? Is we sow into other places, we send into other places, we pray into other places. We are always thinking, God, what do you want to do here and in the world, in our community, in other churches? We don't just think this is the only place God can move. And so we believe in being missionary minded and sowing in our time, talent, and treasure into other places. And Mark and Robin Sewell is who runs Kingdom Connections. That's where all of us have been. Under their helm, which is covered under this church. And we sow into that ministry through here, and we so deeply honor what they've done. And so we're going to start tonight with a video. It just kind of, our heart is that it would show you the heart of our trip, what we were doing, how the Lord moved. And so if you would just turn your attention right after the video is over, we're going to bring our team up. We're going to do kind of just a question answer session to where we just want to help get you little morsels that makes you a little hungrier just to pursue the heart of the Lord in your life and to take a step, a risk of faith, and take the gospel everywhere we go. Amen. All right, let's follow up. Heartbeat of that. So to me, like, I want to honor Cain. Cain can't be here tonight. They had their son was directly exposed to somebody with COVID, so they're just out of caution, just staying close to home for now. But Kane Cooper was on this trip. He's a member here at Grace House. You see him a lot of times just right down here in worship. Kane is such a prayer warrior. I just texted him while we were in the altar during worship, and I just told him, I said, I wish you could be here. You carry such a revelation of the beauty of Jesus that when you talk, when you pray, when you teach, when you just interact with people, it has a fragrance on it that I find so endearing and special. And so I can tell you, when Kane was with us, I mean, first of all, I don't know, Kane can't talk without crying. It's an amazing, I'll call it an attribute. But it's one of those things, like if you've ever been around Lou Engle, if you look across a room of people, when Lou prays, he's like, oh God, and you look around a room and he has this tendency where he rocks. And, you know, and you'll look after about 3 minutes after he starts praying and everybody in the auditorium is just rocking with him. And, you know, and when Kane prays, like you look and everybody in the room, it just has water in their eyes because they're connecting with what he's connected to. And it's just such a special thing. And so I just wanted to honor Kane. He couldn't be here, but just a really special individual. And I was grateful that he was on this trip with us. Just jumping right in. This is one of the more special trips I've been on. First of all, to be able to create something like that to where we can hopefully share that with you so you can get, you know, everything but the smell of a mission trip. as the goal was to be able to lay that out there and give you an idea of what it feels like to be in the midst of it. But we want to kind of talk to everybody that was there and give you a pretty good feel. So just jumping right in, my question to you guys is like, tell me a little bit about what your expectations were going in.
So I think my expectations, going into the trip were to, I've just really been getting revelation after revelation of the love of God and just, really finding my identity as a son and really getting to know his love and what it's like what he thinks about me and what he, what happens to it, like his heart runs wild when he sees me. And I was just really wanting to be able to demonstrate and illustrate that same love to other people and show them God's heart after them and show them his unconditional love for them. And man, that was what I was wanting to do, and I got that. It was really cool seeing just the love of the Father move through us and in us.
Yeah.
I honestly had no expectations. I mean, I went in there just excited to see whatever God was going to do. I had no plans, no preconceived ideas. It was just exciting every day. You never knew what was going to happen. They would be like, oh, you're talking to the crowd this afternoon. I was like, oh, okay.
Which, that leads me to a lot of it. So Mark and Robin have this really interesting style, which is if they think you're afraid to do something, what do?
They tell you to do it.
So that's one of the questions that I had tonight. I'll skip a few things that I want to ask this. So one of the things that Mark and Robin love to do is activate people. Here's the beautiful thing about who the Holy Spirit is. And sometimes we forget that in the hustle and bustle of our lives, right? We forget that we have the Holy Spirit. We forget that it's not just Pastor Eddie. It's not just Pastor Doc. It's not just, you know, the people that you see ebbing and flowing and kind of in the churches. You have the Holy Spirit. And so this is one of the reasons I love the mission field. It's like you go and you're like, all right, I'm just going to watch and see what God does. And you know, and Mark and Robin are like, no, you're not. Like, you're about to do the thing. And so, you know, every morning we started with breakfast and worship. And then we would have either a debrief or something where we kind of go into the day. And so if you guys would, I just want to hear your heart about kind of the worship. I mean, you guys saw in the video, they have this mission base, and the very top floor is kind of open air. And so that's where we had breakfast, and every morning we did worship there. And I thought it was really interesting because when it's open air, we played worship really loud. You know, there's no noise ordinances in third world countries, or as Joe Sally like to call it, three-wheeled countries. And so even your worship becomes an atmosphere of evangelism, you know, because not only can they hear it, they can see you up there, right? And so, but if you guys would, just talk a little bit about the atmosphere of worship up there and then how you were activated to go out.
I mean, like you said, every day of worship was just amazing. But I still remember the first day of worship. What you saw on that video was pretty much mostly the first day of worship. But everyone started jumping with joy, and almost immediately after that, everyone was crying for whatever reason.
It was Cain's fault.
Yeah, it was Cain's fault. So, I mean, you really can't explain how much God touches your heart. And the amazing thing about that was, during that worship, you're never really asking for anything. You're not asking for God's power to consume you before you go out. You're just praying for the other people. Just like, God, touch them. God, move in them, you know. And just in the process of that, you start to feel God's heart for everyone else. And that really brings you to tears, just as you start encountering his love in that way. And I think all of us experienced it in that regard.
I think the first day of worship, I could just really sense a hunger in the atmosphere for God. And it was just really cool seeing the team. I think I would say that's where we really grew the most together. Like, we got tight in worship, just that spirit of unity. That was, I think, my favorite part about worship is I felt closer, even though I was not spending time with them, I was spending time with the Lord. I felt closer to everyone on the team after worship, and it just really recharged us, and God really just poured into us. I know he poured into me and fueled me to go for the day, and it was really cool just getting to carry his glory everywhere we went, from the glory that we picked up in that setting.
Also, one of the things that were amazing was just before we worshipped, he said, you know, if you feel God has a word for someone, go and do it. Because if you're too afraid to step out here, you're definitely not going to step out when you're supposed to go out. And so during worship, you know, we were just praying for each other as well, just as God led, which also just took away that aspect of, you know, just get past that first line sort of thing. So that was also very encouraging.
That leads me to another question is, you know, I know, you know, Kimberly and I lead small groups. And so a lot of in our small groups, one of the things we start talking about here is, how do we get people more engaged in the things that God wants to do here in Florence, Muscle Shoals, the Quad Cities, Alabama, surrounding areas, right? And so what we run into a lot of times is, like, people have a desire to, but they're just a little bit fearful to take a step, right? Did you guys find it just by the willingness to sign up, to fly over an ocean, to land in another country, like, was there any chance that you weren't willing to take a risk?
Was there any chance that we weren't?
Was it easier to take a risk?
Yeah, it was definitely easier to take a risk. I think just because I don't know the people, and I will, like, not see them again unless I go back, you know? So it was, like, it was definitely very easy to take a chance and just be super vulnerable and go out there, you know, and especially after, you know, spending money on a trip and taking time off work, and it made it more of a sacrifice. And actually with that, I was kind of asking the Lord what he wanted me to share tonight, and I felt this, and I remember getting back and hearing the Lord ask me, what if you made yourself this available at home? And like, what if you took off week for work to go door-to-door ministry in your neighborhood? And he just started showing me, like, what would happen if you made yourself that available. And because we can take off work and take a week to go to another country or go across the country even. But it was like, what if you did that for your neighborhood? What would happen? And so that just really has been on my heart lately. And
come on.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a saying in here. We've all heard it. Like, there is no junior Holy Spirit, but we teach that to our kids all the time. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that I have in me. But the other news is there's also no geographical Holy Spirit. You know, he's the Holy Spirit in Guatemala and Africa. He's the same Holy Spirit here. And so there's a reason it's the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy, right? It's like when you go in, when you see him move, I mean, you guys saw in the video, we got to see a lady, like, with a, you know, a growth, an abscess in her stomach completely dissolve, right? And so Josiah sees it and he goes, Like, you see him on the camera. He's like, wait a minute. Because he hears the commotion and he, you know, and it's like, and then she starts doing things that she couldn't do before. You know, and he's like, ha! You know. But he is the same Holy Spirit there that he is here. And so the whole desire is that, you know, we talk about activations, right? That we're activated to pray for people there, that it doesn't end there, right? It comes back. And that's, you know, to your point, that's what we want to see happen. But sometimes we need to know that God will move in us, right? And so there's such a value. You know, there's a reason in Scripture God always says, go into all the nation. It's always, you know, and I've learned that I grow in the going, right? And so sometimes when you just say yes to the things of God, and you take a risk, and you pay the money to go, and you book a, you know, you're on a plane with a whole bunch of people you don't know, and you're having to wear a mask, and it's uncomfortable, you don't like it, but it's in the risk and in the pursuit that, yeah, you know, and then when you come back, he's still the same God here.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, just relating to that, you know, being in a new country for me is not, as far as the concept goes, it's not exactly a new thing.
Why?
I'm technically still in a different country.
Oh, okay.
But, like Dawson said, there definitely is an aspect of when you realize you're not going to see these people again and you only got one chance, you definitely step out of your comfort zone. Like over here, you think, oh, you'll get another chance. You'll see them next week, sort of thing. But over there, you only got one chance. And so it's worth taking the risk just in case you miss it, sort of thing.
So I always have people ask me, you know, when they find out that, every time I go on a mission trip, I always have at least one person ask me, well, I mean, you know, there's plenty of lost people here, right? And so I'm always thinking, I hear that, and I know what they're saying. And I think a lot of times people ask that instantly. But I know in a bunch of, so what we did while we were there is really three things, okay? We did children's ministry. While the children were being ministered to, we would pull the moms and dads, it was usually all the moms, together, and we would minister to the kids, and then another group would go and minister usually to mostly the moms, right? And so we always prayed for people every chance we got. And I'll tell you, if you're ever wondering what the difference is between sometimes ministering people here at home versus ministering to people there, is there it's sometimes life or death. There, there's not always ready available capacity to get to doctors, to get to. And so for them, when they approach, when you give an altar call or just offer prayer, there is sometimes a rallying effect. Like they were just waiting for the invitation to come. And so if you guys will, just speak to the hunger there and just your encounters praying for people and what you saw in them.
I mean, the one thing I realized right in the beginning was not only their hunger for God, but the first thing I actually encountered was their hunger for the rest of their family to encounter God and be saved. Because one of the things we kept seeing was, you know, the wives would be there, the wives and the children, but you would very seldom see the husbands. And of course, the husbands are working more often than not. But, I mean, I had so many people come forward, not praying for themselves, just saying, I just want to pray for my family. Just want to pray that they be saved. And there's actually something very humbling as well, because like Matt was saying, some of their situations are life or death. And the first thing that they're wanting prayer for is for their family. And so just to see that and encounter people with that heart was beautiful. But also, like the one day just after we'd finished ministering, we asked people if they wanted to come forward for prayer. And I just remember almost everyone coming forward. It reached a point where we couldn't have a translator with each person. So you're trying to go around with your broken Spanish praying for people. And we actually told them before, just because there were so many, we just said, listen, we don't know what you want to receive, but just believe God's going to give it to you, even if we're praying in English. And we got the translator to say that at least. And so you went around praying for people, not knowing what's happening. Some people are crying and whatever. And so afterwards, we got people, asked Mark Sewell if we could just get a few testimonies because I still don't know what was happening. I just wanted to know if anything happened. And one guy had a mass in his stomach that ended up disappearing. The other one had extreme pain to the point that she hasn't been able to sleep for 3 days. That also disappeared. And we were only able to get two testimonies, but we also asked, put up your hand if you did get healed or encountered God in some way. And a lot of the people put up their hands. So just with their hunger, I mean, it's amazing how open they are and willing. That's really what got me.
To back him up with that, I remember the first night when we were doing ministry at a youth group. Probably about 20 kids and about 14 or I don't know why that was an exact number, but around that number, when I asked them what they wanted for prayer, they asked for the rest of their family to know God. And it was just really cool seeing their hearts wanting their families to be saved and everything. And when we did door-to-door ministry, there was not one family that didn't automatically, we knock on the door, say we're here to pray for them, and they automatically just open the door and say, come on in. And they made sure they found a seat for everybody on the team. If it was six of us in a group, they made sure they found a seat for everybody, and they wouldn't sit down. They wanted to stand there to honor you and let you sit. And it was just, they were so receiving and so receptive. And it was just a testimony to Mark and Robin's job, what they've done, just creating a reputation of love and giving and servanthood. And it was just awesome. It made me more hungry seeing their hunger for more of the Lord. And the second to last night we were there, We split up to two different churches, and Matt spoke. And when he gave the altar call, probably 75% of the church came to the altar call. And they were pulling the presence of God out of us. We weren't having to try. They were pulling it out of us. And a really cool testimony I have from that service was I felt the Lord say for a woman that her husband's getting a new job. And so I asked her, I said, do you have a husband, first of all? And she said, yeah.
It's a good place to start.
And I said, does he need a new job? And she starts breaking down crying. And she said that her husband actually works in the States, and he just got fired because he's a Christian. And that was super discouraging to her, number one, of even claiming Christianity, because, now that their family has lost their income through being a Christian. But she said that her husband works in the States, and he just got fired for being a Christian. I was able to tell her that her husband's getting a new job and that the Lord's blessing that. And it was just really cool seeing God move in ways that, I couldn't have known that myself. It was just really cool seeing God prove himself and prove his love for the people of Guatemala.
I keep remembering things as he starts talking. But also speaking of the hunger, one of the things that also stood out was there were multiple cases where you would pray for someone, you'd be done, and normally over here when you're done, they go. Over there, they kept staying. And I remember praying for this one guy. I prayed for him, and I finished, and he was still there, eyes closed, just, I'm done, sort of, but I ended up having to tell, Mary Grace, I just told her, listen, he's still here and he still wants to receive. Just keep praying for him. He received more as well. He received whatever each person praying for him could give, basically. And even when we had, the 75% people come forward, they kept staying. So you didn't know who had been prayed for. So you can, people were being prayed for multiple times. And it was just amazing to watch as well.
You know, hunger has a way sometimes of just saying, I don't care what your order is. I think about in Scripture when they tear a hole in the roof and lower their friend down, right, to get to Jesus. And so I think sometimes we fall into the trap of dignity, right? And so we sometimes have a tendency of, allowing in the name of dignity and cultural pleasantries, we allow that to get in the way. You know, and, you know, I keep thinking of Marlo right now. It's like Marlo has had a real touch of the Lord. And like she's basically just said, I don't care what the dignities are. I'm in. I'm a new creature. I am whatever it takes to pursue this with everything I am. I will come with. And so we encountered that from so many people there. And so it changed to the point that we're like, you know, their hunger, they were coming to us, you know, because we had just taught a gospel, right? We presented good news and they said, if it's good, I want it all. Right. And so it provoked us to go, am I believing the things that I'm saying? Am I believing and living the things that I'm inviting them to come to? Right. To be a little less dignified, to say, you know, do I need more of the Lord? You know, it's always been one of my rules that if somebody is teaching and they say, would you like more of God? I'm like, well, I do. So, you know, it's one of those things I almost always come forward for, you know, and it's just I put that in my head as something that, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm willing to take a step to meet the Lord wherever he is. And like we encountered a group of people that when we said God is a God of healing, God is a God of salvation, God is a God that meets provisions. And y'all, we're saying this to people that walk, that once a week walk miles to get water and bring it back to their homes. And we're telling them that, you know, from our world where we turn a faucet on and there's water, we're telling them God's got a provision. Like, I don't have the experience they have, but I know who has identified with it. I don't have to, I never had to be a drug addict to see someone free, because I didn't have to identify in their sin. Christ already did. And so that's the beauty of ministering and the power of the Holy Spirit, is I don't have to know what they've been through. He does. And so what we're doing in these moments where we're inviting people to come is we're just tapping into Jesus paid it all, and we're offering that to them to come and get a piece of that revelation. And when we laid that down, they rushed forward to it. And so that's the beauty of this thing. I'm going to tell one quick testimony real quick. So when we were doing door-to-door ministry and we're going in, you know, I was trying to run double duty and praying for people and video and things like that. And, you know, even Josiah got involved in praying for some people, and that just touched my heart in a real special way. You know, but we're giving out food. We're giving out diapers. You know, we saw one lady saved. We saw several healings. It was really powerful. And like Robin looks at her watch and she's like, we've went over. We're like, we felt like we'd just gotten started. Right. Because we were like, we can't be almost done. And we were out there for several hours, you know, but we're just going door to door, and they just let you in. You talk to them a little bit, love them a little bit, give them some rice or beans and, you know, some basic things. And it's like, hey, we want to pray for you. They're all like, well, yeah, you know? And so we're rushed and we're trying to leave. And so we come around the corner and we look, and there is a wheelchair and a man laying beside it. And we're like, this is an odd wreck. And so, you know, and so Robin looks at Christopher and I, and she's like, y'all may have to help him. And so we get out, and, you know, he's on the ground. And I don't know how much Spanish you guys speak, but it's about the same as I probably speak, which is not much. I can ask where the bathroom is, and I can tell you good night. And I learned there's one word that sounds real close to good night that is not good night. But we come around, I'm around there, and I don't know if y'all know this or not, but if they don't speak English, saying it louder or slower still doesn't help. So, because they don't have a hearing problem, they have an English problem. And so I'm like, do you need some help? He's like, you know. And like, so finally, our interpreter gets out, Clarita comes in, she's like, I'm like, can I help you back in your wheelchair? And I'm thinking, this is going to be Christopher and I are trying to figure out how to grab this guy. And so finally, I just reset and grab him. I thought he was going to weigh more than he did. And so I just pick him up and I just plopped him right back down. And I was like, well, that was different, you know. Well, long story short, his brother had come home and had been drinking. And apparently they had been into it. And he didn't like his brother being there. And so he had thrown a fit and thrown himself maybe off the porch but definitely out of his wheelchair. And so, you know, I'm like, well, let's just pray for him, because, you know, it seemed like the right thing to do after the day we had. And so I just kind of pray this real generic, you know, God bless him real good kind of prayer. And so, you know, and I'm looking at this guy who is, we found out later, he'd been in a car wreck and it left him in this condition to where he was mentally kind of scrambled, and physically definitely scrambled. But he was able to respond. He knew what we were doing. He just couldn't communicate well. And so I'm like, all right, well, we got him back in his wheelchair and everything seems to be good. And Christopher makes eye contact with me. He goes, and basically what Christopher was telling me is like, I can't leave here until we pray that he is completely healed. And it confronted my faith. And y'all, we all need friends like this, right? That says, like, we're not halfway do this. We came here to be all in. And so I looked at Christopher and I was like, you know, my faith was like, ah. I'm thinking, I can't say no to this. I'm like, let's do it. And so we prayed for him and we're like, can you move anything you couldn't move before? And we don't really see any change. But then his mom goes, I don't think he knows Jesus. And so Claritas goes, he doesn't know Jesus. And I said, ask him if he wants to know Jesus. And he's like, yes, I really do. And so we kneel down with him and pray for him. And he gives his life to Jesus right there on the in the middle of the road. And here's the thing that I find deeply interesting is I was willing to pray a generic prayer. And I was going to get back in the vehicle so that we could be on time. Christopher goes, I can't leave this here. And that extra step is what provokes the mom to go, I don't think he knows Jesus. And it's sometimes in that listening to the Holy Spirit and taking that extra step that makes the biggest difference in other people's lives. And so then we're like, you know, what do we do from here? And so I'm like, well, can I take you back in the house? And he's like, I don't want to go back in the house when his brother's here. So it's hot outside. And so Robin, Clarita's like, well, can we at least get you in the shade? And he's like, yes. I always love it when somebody offers to do something that can't physically do it. Because the road has a ditch in the center about this deep that you can't push a wheelchair over. And so Clarita's like, can y'all get him over there? And I'm looking around and I'm like, we'd have to go about 100 yards this way around and come back. And so I'm like, I'll just move him over there. So I just hoist him up in the wheelchair and all and carry him across the road and sit him down. But it all happened by someone not relenting that God is willing to move. And so, you know, it's about time for us to close. But, you know, I want to give these guys just an opportunity. And I want to leave you provoked with this. The Lord is after your one more thing. It's in that desire to see you just take steps. You know, Bill Johnson has a quote, the light in the kingdom is green until it's not. I think sometimes too many of us think that, Lord, I just cast a fleece, right? I'm just waiting for you to tell me what to do. And the Lord is saying it's in the going. It's in the moving. If you've ever think about turning a boat, it's a whole lot easier to turn a boat when it's moving than when it's still. And I think that really is the life in the Holy Spirit. It's when you apply your faith that you see God move powerfully. And so if you guys would just give your quick takeaway and your if you could challenge people to step into what you stepped into, what would that be?
I think the biggest thing I realized very quickly was how God perfectly ordained each person for their specific moments, so to speak. Because we kept separating into groups, and each group was perfectly planned by God. Every interpreter we had was perfectly timed for each message. Even if the person was considered not doing much, they were actually doing so much and reaching people that we were not reaching. I can't tell you how many people, it's like when we're ministering to the adults, they're ministering to the children. It's not exactly much teaching involved, but there's so much love you can show to them. And so if I charge anyone with anything, it would be very much that it doesn't, if you love Jesus, like, it doesn't matter what level you're at, just go for it. Yes, you'll be out of your comfort zone, definitely. But don't underestimate how much you have to give. Because even if it's small, they are willing to receive it, and it's more than enough to satisfy them.
I think my biggest takeaway is to love the person in front of you, regardless of what that looks like. And when you look at a person with genuine love, I believe you're willing to go through steps above and beyond to help needs, to see them healed, to do whatever it is. If you are looking at the person in front of you with genuine love, I think things will happen, and you get a boldness about you. And I think my biggest, the thing that stood out to me the most on the trip was I was sitting on the floor doing a little arts and crafts activity with some kids, and I was saying abrazo, which means hug, and I was holding out my arms and hugging them and playing with them a little bit. And I told this one kid, I pointed to his chest and said, te amo, which means I love you. And he looked at me with this confused, I've never seen someone look this confused when I told him I loved him. And it was like, why would you love me? I didn't think I could be loved. But it was also this joyful face of, like, he felt embraced and he felt important. And if I didn't do anything else on that trip, that was worth it. I wanted to see this kid's life changed just because someone told him they loved him. So I think that's my biggest takeaway is just love the person in front of you. And even if that doesn't mean doing the big, like, preaching thing, love the person in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Do you have anything? Okay. So, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for praying for us while we're gone. Thank you for, as just a congregation, being who you are. That we are a group of people as a body of believers that say we're going to go after the things of the Lord. And so being launched from this body is something that I don't take lightly. And so I thank you for the leadership of Pastor Eddie and our elders. Mickey, the atmosphere that is here is one that says Paul wrote that, all creation anxiously anticipates the sons of God to take their place. And that speaks directly to all of us to know that our call is to rise up and to go into the nations and our jobs and our communities and our rec centers. Anywhere that we go, we carry the power and the goodness of God. And that's who we come from. And that's as a house. We want to see every single person activated in that reality. And so, our experience there is just a morsel of what our heart is in this body. And so what we hope for you tonight is that what you are is activated to do the extra, to do what really should be the normal Christian life. But I just want to encourage you, confront fear with action. Confront it with faith. And to go into all the world and preach the gospel with power and wonder in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all so much.
Amen. That was wonderful. Amen. That was awesome. And a great job on the video. Yeah. As we were watching that video and seeing the beautiful mountains there outside of Jalapa, I couldn't help but think of a long, long time ago, right before his ascension back to the Father, Jesus had gathered together his handful of disciples who had spent those 3 years with him. And he gave them the charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you to do, and I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. So through the centuries, there have been people who have continued to say, okay, Jesus, I'll do that. And you just heard from a group of guys that once again said, I'll go. I'll do what Jesus commanded those original disciples to do when they witnessed and then discipled, and then the people they discipled witnessed and discipled, and right on down the line. So the going goes on. And along with Pastor Matt, thank you for supporting, praying, giving, going. Guys, y'all did awesome. Thank you so much. That was so encouraging. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask these guys just to be here in the altar area. If there's any of you that would like for them to pray for you, they'll be here. We're going to say the amen, and you'll be free to go and are free to come and receive ministry. So, Father, thank you tonight for these testimonies. Thank you for the lessons learned, the lives touched. Thank you, Father, for how you are moving and working through your church around this globe. Thank you that we might have what some called an old-fashioned message, but thank you for the primal power of the gospel that still transforms hearts for the billionaire in the penthouse and the impoverished man and his wife and kids in a remote mountain where there's no running water. The gospel meets all with power and grace. And Lord, we'll meet people like that over these next few days. Help us to remember this. May we be challenged to love, to give, to share, and to see another heart made alive by the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. Let's give them a hand more time. God bless you. In the process.